The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is, well, 7:01 Central Time. We're a little late. I forgot to do a couple things, but we're here. Back after an unfortunate and unpredictable day off or week off due to technical difficulties, which wasn't found until, like 7:02. So we're a little late on that one, but we're back. I think I happened to fix this program or the producing program an hour and a half ago, so go me. You're listening to the Odyssey Files, in case you didn't know. I'm your host, Michael O'Neill. With me this week back is my co-host, Mr. Dave Sawyering. Good evening, Dave.
How are you, Mike?
I'm a lot better now.
That's good, because you know I it's every week. Your co-host every week, because last week, even though I didn't make it, you didn't have a show. So that doesn't count.
It still counts.
No, that doesn't count. No,
because you weren't going to be here, and we had a show, and I had a co-host.
But it didn't. But it never got on the air. So it's like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, kind of concept, you know.
Yeah, but it still makes a noise. Just nobody's there to hear it.
Well, how do you know that though? You're not there to hear it. So we didn't have a show.
But that would be precedent on the only thing that would constitute it as making a sound is if a human is there to hear it.
Yeah. Well, that's why the saying is stated like that.
That's arrogant. I just say, well, it's not true. It's not correct.
Well, we could ask an animal if they heard it, but then I'm not sure that they would be able to vocalize in a way that we could understand. But we're off on a tangent already.
Well, that's fine. This is talk radio, Dave. We talk.
I know we do. We do well too. We do talk. We talk well. So.
Yes, we're very well-spoken.
Yeah, that's what we tell ourselves every single week when we get on the air.
I do, in front of the mirror every morning. I'm like, you are so well-spoken. And then I go about combing my hair. So,
yeah. you have the perfect face for radio.
I do. I tell myself that every day. as do many other people.
But, as many other radio hosts.
I don't know why somebody who would have the face for TV would do radio, unless they're just like self-conscious or something, but I don't know why that would be. But that's a moot point. So tonight, I don't know if we've gone over and we've kind of just chatted about cases that we've done or cases that have existed that weren't even ours. In fact, I think the last case we did that we talked about was the one out in
the entity out in California.
Well, I meant that was before that was ours.
Oh, before okay, ours.
That was actually like ours, like right. A private case.
Right.
Was the one that I actually turned over to Cat Paranormal, the one that.
That was a while. Yeah, that was like this winter.
Oh yeah, and then the possible indie one, White Bear, that you and I went to. Those are the last two cases that we discussed.
Yes.
So, But this one is a little different because you and I actually disagreed. I don't know if we still do, but
because... We'll see tonight because I don't know anything about it, so I'm coming in blind. So, I mean, from what you said... Okay, well first we got to set the stage here because...
Right.
This was like the proverbial, we have 20 different claims type of case, okay? Like,
literally.
Literally, right. I mean, when you sent it to me, I was like, holy crap. I mean, where do you want me to go with this thing on it, you know, to analyze it? I mean, there's so much going on here.
It actually was literally 20, yeah.
Yeah, it was something like 20. And so I took a stab at kind of what I thought might be going on based on what you had emphasized and what the way that you worded your words, the things that you said that you kind of made important, you know, and that's how I kind of focused myself, so.
So what we're going to do is kind of go about the process that we typically do when we get a new case, you know, because we always like to, at least I do, I like to come up with at least a partial theory in my head before I go in to investigate based on the claims and the history that I'm told by the clients. No names, by the way, Dave.
Right.
just nope. client, husband, you know, that
client
kind of thing.
Yep.
I'll go over the history, some of the history, and then go over the claims. So the claims themselves are going to take like 10 minutes to do. So you'll have to stick with me on this one. And so our client, she's 40 years old, and lives in a trailer house. She has husband, four dogs, and in March, her daughter, 21, niece, 30, and her niece's two kids, 8 and 6, also live there now. And they also have another nephew, 10, that lives right next door. So they lived in this location for 10 years. And the activity has been pretty much gone from the get-go. It's just recently, starting in this year, it spiked. So from 10 years, it was just little things, and all of a sudden, it spiked. So the history that we do have, or that we were given, was the land used to be farm since the early 1800s. And... the last family to farm there, the original story was that their daughter, had drowned in the swamp. It actually turned out, after research, it wasn't a daughter. It was the mother, I guess. I don't think they had. No, they did. They did have children who did not live there. So it was this woman named Lenore Clausen and her husband were the only two that lived there. And one random day, she was, I think, in her 80s. She just disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to her. She went out to do her chores and never returned. They think that she had some sort of dementia going on, and that... like just, I think a day or two previous to her disappearance, she was found on a golf course, sleeping on a green, and didn't know where she was. So the theory was that there was a swamp adjacent to their property. She ended up drowning in this swamp. Her body was never found. That's kind of the kicker. So nobody really knows what happens to her. What happened to her?
So I ruled that out. I ruled the drowning out when I did the analysis.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, either way, she's
gone. Right.
She's gone.
But I ruled out the drowning aspect of it because there's no way that you wouldn't have found her body. So.
I mean, this was in the 1950s, but I mean, I read the article that they published about it. And they literally searched this swamp area multiple times. They even brought in helicopters to do. But the one thing they didn't do is, and I don't even think it was I guess I don't know enough about scuba to say this, but I don't even think they had, they didn't put anybody in scuba gear and actually like send anybody into the swamp to check.
Right.
So that, yeah, that was weird. There obviously there's a theory that, her husband murdered her, and did something with the body. But that was obviously never proven and he's now, you know, deceased. So that, that's kind of like the only history we were given of the property. Claims, which there are a lot of them. So I'm just going to kind of read them as I wrote them, and try to summarize. So they've had pictures fall off the wall. They originally chalked it up to, like the stickiness of the wall hanger. So they didn't actually have like nails. They had like those 3M, stick to the wall. Then they have a little hook. So they thought that, that was coming loose. But then they had a picture of the Last Supper, which actually has the nail and wire. So you have to lift the photo up in order to get it off the wall. And that I've seen it. Now that I've obviously done the investigation, it's above the sink, and is like way up towards the ceiling. So it's not like, you know, 4 feet off the 4 feet off the ground or anything like that. I mean, I'm 6 foot tall and I would have to like reach my arm up just to touch it. That has fallen off the wall 4 different times and each time it's a different distance away. The last time that it happened, they actually found it on the other side of the room behind the kitchen table, which is probably about 15 feet. Things get moved. They put things on the counter, leave, come back for it, and it's gone. I know that when they first moved in, they were doing some remodeling, and they would put down a tool, they would go to grab a little bit later, and it would be, they would actually find it on the other side of the house. So they hear knocking on the walls, both inside and outside. Sometimes it's so bad, my client can't, she can't sleep. The daughter told me that about 2 weeks ago, she was woken up out of a deep sleep by 3 loud bangs on the wall. She thought it might be the neighbors until it happened again right next to her head. Scared the crap out of her. Recently, their voices are being mimicked, like a lot. They're saying it's like daily, once or twice daily. It started with just her and her husband's voices. And then after the kids moved in, it started mimicking theirs as well. Like they would hear the traditional, like, hey, come here, you know, and they would hear the kids saying like, you come here, this, you know, this other child is hurt. But they would be outside playing when there would be no issues. The kids have heard their mothers call for them, and the mothers aren't even home. They have an Amazon Echo in their house. Now they programmed it to only take commands from her and her husband. They disabled the whole, you know, Alexa do this, you know, feature. Right. They have to say specific commands in order for it to do anything. So all of a sudden, you know, they would be doing something in the kitchen or whatever, and they would hear their Alexa go, I'm sorry, I don't understand that command. Or, I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Alexa would say, I'm sorry, I can't make that phone call right now. I'm sorry, I can't find that address or something along those lines. I've never used an Amazon Echo, so I do not know. Now, what I got after this, during the walkthrough, when I could actually, like, you know, talk to my client face to face, she actually has had Best Buy on the phone and to try and fix this, because they've reprogrammed it twice, they've rebooted it twice, and it still does it, and she would relay to this Best Buy person what's going on, and he's able to connect with it from his computer to do everything remotely. And he would come back and be like, there's no record of this command ever being done, of it like getting this command and then not being able to do it. There was no record of it whatsoever.
Even though it was responding that it couldn't do that command.
Correct.
Okay.
There was nothing in its history that said that it couldn't do whatever it was that they were asking it to do.
Okay. So for all you ghost story lovers, go out and get an Amazon Echo because they're haunted.
Apparently. Well, I mean, because this is the same thing that, you know, would laugh creepily at you.
Right. Right.
You know, in the middle of the night. So, yes. I mean, you might not be too far off.
Might not be.
They have a landline for anybody that doesn't know what that is anymore.
An actual phone on the wall.
That's a phone on the wall. Not a cell phone.
Nope.
And they would get a phone call once a week. The caller ID would have no number to it, and it would just be static, be nothing. And like I said, that would happen once a week. So the husband's mother passed away in the house about 5 years ago. She was there for hospice care, so they knew that she was going to pass. And as they were literally taking her body to the funeral home, my client said a picture had better not fall off the wall right now, and a picture that was right next to her fell off the wall.
Yep.
Was not the same one as Last Supper. This was just a photo of a tree. They've heard kids giggling, and I know how you feel about kids, Dave.
Yes, you do. I love kids. I got three of them.
But well, no,
not,
I mean,
not ghost kids.
Well, yeah, I would say, let me rephrase. You know, ghost kids, spirit kids.
Correct. Yes.
About a week, well, it'd be longer now, but let's just say 3 weeks ago, a bunch of the family was in the living room, and the daughter heard a girl giggle. She thought it was one of her cousins, but apparently it was not. That wasn't the case. When the mother-in-law was there, they had set up a baby monitor, and they would also hear kids giggling in that, even though at the time there were no kids even in the neighborhood. Our client had lost her mother to cancer just in December, so about 6 months ago. 7 months ago, I guess. Now it's towards the end of June.
Yep.
It was so sudden, they literally had about 13 days from the time that they were told that she had this disease and the time when she actually died, although she did not die in the home. There have been one instance of a client being touched. Happened just recently. She was just laying down on the couch to take a nap, and it felt like someone put a hand on her shoulder to try and wake her. That was it.
Could have been mom.
Yeah.
You know, just in a like, hey, final moment, I just wanted to say goodbye kind of thing.
Well, that's a long time for a final moment, because this happened, well, when I say it happened recently, I mean like 3 weeks ago. Now. Right. She's had bouts of sleep paralysis. She'll have a nightmare, wake up from it, and she can't move or anything for at least a few minutes. The dogs will bark at nothing for no reason, sometimes to the point where she can't even calm them down. They have an old cross that's by the front door, that was by the front door, it's no longer by the front door, hanging on the wall. One of those crosses has a false front, and then the front, there's holy water and candles in it.
That's your baptism cross. I've got one. That's the cross you get from your baptism.
Oh,
or your christening, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I've been baptized, and I don't have one of those unless they just tossed it.
They might have tossed it. It might have burnt. It might have started on fire right when they were doing it. Who knows?
Could've.
I have mine, though. So
I did not know that. Okay, yeah. Well, I learned something tonight. They said in order for you to take it off the wall, you have to push it up against the wall and lift it up. knowing in hell it would have fallen on its own. And they found it on the floor, pretty much. They came home one day and found it on the floor. I kind of forgot to put that in there. That was about 2 years ago. I saw I saw the cross. And the funny thing was, and it wasn't part of the original thing, is they also found the holy water and the candles, like the front had opened.
Yep.
And it was, you know, spilled out.
Yep.
It probably took me like 3 minutes to figure out how to open this thing. Cause I tried to do it. And it was tough. I mean, it was like, I almost thought I was going to break it. Yep. That's how much force I had to put to it. In order to get this front open. And she said this shouldn't be the case, but the bottle of holy water was empty.
That should never be the case because they're sealed. It's not for something you would use. It was used for you, and then it's like something you could keep for the rest of your life.
Well, right. And that's why she's like, that shouldn't be the case. I mean, like, I thought, maybe it's, I'm just, there's no air bubble or anything, and it's completely fit. But no, I mean, that the thing was empty.
Yeah, it shouldn't be empty.
So, where was I? Also about 2 years ago, her and her husband were sitting out in the pickup truck. She was getting ready to take him to work, and they both saw a misty figure go in front of the truck, down the side of the house, and then disappear. It was the only time that they've seen it. The daughter told me that before her grandma died, the grandma claimed to have seen a tall, dark shadow of a man with a top hat. Shortly after the grandmother passed away, the daughter also saw the same figure. She has not seen it since. So there were two pictures that were taken. They have one of those security cameras outside of their place, and it takes video, and then if it senses movement or whatever, it takes photos for later analysis. One in January and one in February shows a figure, I guess, a pretty translucent figure, although the photo's blurry.
That one is undeniable, though. That one is, you could clearly see a male figure standing there. I mean, it's not HD, 1080pi, you know, or 4K Ultra, but it definitely is a male figure standing there.
Really? Because they all attributed it to be female both times.
I didn't think so. I thought that one definitely looked male, and the second one definitely looks like it has a dress on.
Definitely has a dress.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I thought the first one was male. And that's what I thought when I saw it. But I would say it'd be hard to argue that that's not some type of figure of something outside.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially since video did not pick it up, only the photos. So for that, like, one frame, it saw something. You know, it sensed movement, it took its photo. And there it was, and it's only one in January and one in February, and that's the only ones that they have ever gotten, as far as I'm aware. So many times, I guess the Lenore Clausen lady, according to the daughter, something that they talk about a lot, and a lot of times when they do, out of the corner of her eye, the daughter will see what she believes to be a woman in a period, like, flowered dress. And suddenly she becomes, like, overcome with a sense of sadness. Sometimes, and like, a heaviness in her chest. She said sometimes it gets so bad she'll actually start to cry. That always, that pretty much only happens when they talk about Lenore. So, about 3 weeks ago now, after exiting the bathroom with her dog, the daughter, who was in her room, heard three loud knocks on her bedroom door. Now, her bedroom door, when it was originally said to me, it was her bedroom door does not latch. What I found out when I got there, it doesn't have a latch. Like there's no doorknob. There's no anything.
It's just like a door, a slab door that you could just push open anytime.
That is correct. It is not able to be latched.
Okay.
And so she had three loud knocks on her bedroom door and it did not open, did not move. She went out to the living room to see if her mother had done it and she had not. And then about a month ago, husband was sitting in the living room chair and felt his hair get pulled. Now, when I say that, I don't mean like, you know, his head jerked back because, you know, his hair got yanked. He said it was like, you know, four or five hairs, something along those lines. He just kind of felt them, you know, get tugged a little bit. And then he was in the kitchen one time and he felt his shirt get tugged. And lastly, they sometimes hear doors being slammed.
So other than that, you know.
Yeah. So
like I said, it's the proverbial every single bucket claim you could have in a case all wrapped up into one.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So what we tried to do, and the reason why I wrote this out was not because I was, you know, talking to Dave about this case, but I proposed it to my Dubuque chapter. They were not obviously going to be there for the investigation, but it was a great opportunity for me to see, when given all of this information and given all of these claims and some of the history, what theories would they as a team come up with? And so they did. all except Jim, who has a good reason. So I'm not worried about that whatsoever. But you, Dave, based on, you know, kind of refreshing your memory of it, what did you think could be a theory going in as to what was going on?
Okay. So based on everything you just said, my focus was on the three knocks, the loud bangs on the wall, the picture of the Last Supper being tossed off of the nail, getting ripped off the wall and thrown quite a long distance. The fact that they are hearing children's voices and children giggle. Those two photos to me kind of sold me on the fact that something was legitimately there. I don't know what it is, but I clearly saw in those two photos that you posted, I clearly saw two figures, which we already kind of touched on. The dogs barking kind of uncontrollably, staring at something that they can see that nobody else can see, and not being able to get them to relax. I didn't like the fact, going all the way back to the very first thing that happened, which was the Lenore disappearing. I didn't like the fact of the whole story of how she just accidentally got dementia and wandered off and fell in the swamp and nobody could find her. I didn't buy that from the get-go. Actually, my comment was, if she's in the swamp, she probably has a bunch of rocks tied to her, and that's why she's not floating, so she's not going to be found. Which, if that is the case, that goes hand in hand with what you just said, which I didn't know at the time, that they thought that maybe the husband, there was a little bit of foul play. Not saying there was or wasn't. I'm just pointing that out. And so I kind of, based on those things, there hasn't been any harm done, but it seemed to me that with the recent ramping up, that something not so pleasant, and I'm not using the term demonic in any way, shape, or form, but something negative, you know, dark, was possibly moving in. We're trying to make it establish itself there.
Right. I don't want to say of course, but I kind of knew that when I was typing this, That is a lot of that there was probably going to be a few, especially you.
Yeah.
Just knowing, obviously, the history that I have with you and all the cases that I've done with you.
Yeah.
And obviously, your past, that is where you would have gone.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's you hit a lot of hot points for a haunting that might have a negative entity. I mean, there's a lot of strong strong evidence, you know, based on what they've experienced, that kind of points that way. So,
I agree. And for whatever reason, and I'm not one to just fully dismiss that aspect of things. But for whatever reason, as she was telling me this stuff, I just 100% was not getting that, even though a lot of the claims would point that way, especially with, you know, because it's part of the questioning to ask, especially when you're dealing with this guy, how many knocks,
right?
Because it's just something you need to know, just in case,
right?
And so when you know I was told this, you know, I'd be like, well, I can't keep that from him. I mean, if I would have watered this down and kept it as generic as possible, you probably never would have gotten there at all. If I would have said somebody knocked on her door. You know,
no,
that's
I would
it.
Have never
but,
gotten there. No.
Well, exactly. But, you know, in order to convey all of the pertinent information that had to be in it, because I know you mentioned the way I phrase things, and,
right.
I have to tell them. So I thought, especially starting with things moving, you know, that's a big indicator to me of poltergeist activity. And I didn't know this when I wrote this, because I did more research on it after I wrote this and after everybody maybe I did about the same time. It doesn't matter. On signs of a poltergeist. I think it was after you wrote yours, Dave. So okay. I'm like, well, I better be able to defend my position.
Right.
If I'm going to say it's this, and right. then be like, well, I just feel that way.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't know this, because usually what people consider to be a poltergeist is, you know, a psychokinetic PK manifestation created by humans.
Right.
But what are the signs of them? Because I only know about crap being thrown across the wall, or not a wall, across the room. You know, that was it. I mean, does that explain the pictures? Yes. But what about the knocking? What about, you know, what about all the other things? And
see, the only and the thing. So I'm just going to jump in here for a second. Sure. So the only thing that got me on that, and it still kind of gets me, is of all the pictures they have on the wall and all of the things that could easily fall based on 3M stick'em strips with little hooks on it, that could be that those things could be tossed off the wall. The only one that's really been like thrown across the room has been the one that's on a wire and a nail. And that's the picture of the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. Now, if it was a picture of like a yarn owl, you know, that her kid had made her in art school in kindergarten or something like that, I would not think in any way, shape, or form that was a dark entity. I'd be like, okay, somebody just hates owls. Okay, let's dig deeper on the owl thing, you know?
Well, that's the Last Supper is the one that's been thrown the most.
Right.
Now,
but the hardest one to throw, too, right? I mean, for the most part, it sounds like.
I think so. So there were two other, besides the cross, there were two others that fell off the wall. One was the tree, just this picture of a tree. And the other one, I believe it was the very first one to fall, was a photo that she made her husband for one of their anniversaries.
Okay.
What was the very first one to fall. So the Last Supper is not the only one but it has fallen the most, and it has been thrown furthest.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say, maybe I shouldn't say thrown, because nobody saw it. They found it.
Yeah, but it couldn't get 15 feet across the room, and you couldn't even reach it. So unless somebody in the house is literally getting up and sleepwalking and doing it, it's getting thrown.
Well, either that or it's a porting. I mean, it can be aported. I'm just saying, when we say thrown, I mean, somebody was there. If you want to go back to your tree, your tree in the forest,
right?
You know, nobody saw what happened. Right. I mean, this wasn't something that they were sitting in the living room and all of a sudden, wham, you know, the Last Supper hit the other side of the wall.
Right.
You know, they came home one day and it was on like the other side of the kitchen table and nobody knows what happened. I can't reach it. I have to reach for it.
Well, what I'm saying is you'd have to make a serious effort is from what you just said. Yes,
you do. Yes, you would. In fact, I think the only, I can't say this for certain because I obviously didn't try it. But I think the only one that would be able to just reach it without getting a chair would probably be the husband.
Okay.
But obviously the kids aren't going to be able to do it.
No.
But some things that so I thought that there were actually three different things going on, and this could come from my, I don't want to say obsession, but high passion for watching the Dead Files. Because before that show, you know, it was always cut and dry. There's an entity in your house, figure out what it wants, you know, try to get rid of it or, rectify the situation.
Correct, yeah.
But watching that show, it's like, I see this happening and I see this happening and these two are going. I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, I didn't know houses could have that much different stuff going on.
Yep.
So my theory was this. There are three different things that were going on. First one, obviously, Mrs. Clausen.
Yep.
I don't want to say she appears, but, you know, they get that, the daughter gets that sense and that sadness. Most of the times that they talk about her, it's possible that it's one of her images. On it, because in the article she was stated as the day she disappeared she was wearing a polka dot dress.
Okay.
Now if you're just seeing something out of the corner of your eye, you might mistake that for a flower dress.
Absolutely.
And so I thought that correlation was huge. The overrush of sadness would led me to believe she probably doesn't know that she's dead.
Right, because they haven't found her body, so she hasn't been put to rest.
Right.
And
if anything, she's probably looking at where her home is.
Right.
Like, where did it go? Her husband, unless he's the one that
killed her.
Did away with her, and I don't want to get into that theory because you know you said you didn't know about that theory. That was one of those rumors, you know, that the town folks
started.
Like they didn't find any sort of evidence of any foul play. But it's one of those. Why can't we find her body? You know, I bet the husband, you know, did away with her or something like that.
Right.
So. I also thought that because of the voices that they're hearing, it didn't fit. I don't like it when things don't fit. That means there's something that I'm either missing or there's something else that I'm going that is going on. I felt that. And I had asked her. That wasn't even part of my thing. She had activity in other homes.
Yep.
She had activity as a kid. She felt that her mother had also experienced activity in homes, but did not want to talk about it. And over the past, for a number of years before they moved to this previous house, her and her husband moved from home to home to home in a short period of time. And so when they moved in here and things started just moving and that was it, I got the thought that if she had abilities, if paranormal activity follows her, whether it's the same entity or not is irrelevant, then she probably has abilities. And if anything, it runs in the family.
I would agree. You usually
okay, I was, you were just nodding your head, and I'm like, yeah, no, nobody, nobody knows your
No. Yeah, totally 100%. We've talked about this, you and I have, hundreds of times. You know, it definitely is a bloodline type of thing. I mean, if your grandmother was really a really strong empath, whether you like it or not, you're going to have empathic qualities. I totally believe that. So, you know, it yes, 100%.
But if you put in that history, and I didn't even know this at the time I wrote this to everybody, there was I think I wrote it in further I did in further posts about it when everybody was going over their analysis, especially about the Last Supper, because if it is poltergeist activity, if it is not a negative entity, there's got to be a reason it's going for that photo,
right?
And in order for it to do that, you know, I had to know what her opinion of God was, because if there is a I don't want to say a hatred, but an anger or whatever,
disappointment.
Disappointment, hurt,
right.
Anger towards God, a poltergeist is going to pick up on that.
Absolutely.
If she's the one that's feeding it, and that's what it's going to go for. It's going to go for religious objects because it wants them gone. Oops, right. That was me.
Like that. Wham! Yeah. There went Mike's picture of the Last Supper when flying across his room.
No, but that's how much the investigation, paranormal investigator is part of me. I made that sound, and the first thing I said was, that was me.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to tag it.
But moving from place to place to place puts in a lot of frustration and a lot of stress. And I didn't know this until the walkthrough, but about 19 years ago, she actually lost her son. Due to a miscarriage, and at that point in time, I thought that was the starting point. That event, that tragedy, started this entire process, because that's very, very, very emotionally traumatic.
Yeah.
And then mixed in everything that has happened since,
high stress.
Tragic
event, high stress. Yeah, I mean, the passing of your mother, the passing of your husband's mother. You know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's there's a lot of catalysts there for a strong emotional release.
And she not only did that happen, she lost her mother-in-law, she lost her mother, but I also found out that recently as well, she lost two of her best friends. And what turned out, except for the first time, each time that the Last Supper flew off the wall coincided with one of those losses.
Oh. Well, see, now you didn't put those in the notes.
I didn't know that.
This is all brand new. This is all brand new stuff for me too. Just for everybody listening, I just want to let you know.
I didn't know that.
I know. I understand that. I'm just saying it's all brand new for me.
Right. So I know. And that's why I'm telling you this is all stuff that I found out. I think each time that a loss happened, obviously the furthest time being right after, I believe it was right after her mother died, that Last Supper was as far away from the wall as possible. And right after she passed, that is when activity started to grow and get more intense. And then when the daughter moved back in, you have the daughter, the niece, like three more kids, a bunch more animals,
right,
into your small home. That, especially when the daughter also has abilities. more empathic than anything, I believe. That's an all-you-can-eat energy buffet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you just stirred the mixing pot and take your choice of whatever floats out of the bowl, because it's all going to be energy that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. Right. So that is all going up into the investigation, and I'm going to have to take a commercial break. Yeah. I've always wanted to lead up to a certain thing, like that music that's like, what was that? And then they go to commercial.
It's the crest of the show.
Yes, it is the crest of the show. So I'm going to take a quick commercial break. Quick commercial break now, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Odyssey Files on Para X.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on Para X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para X Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
This is Lindsay with Center Stage Events, and Mike and Dave are the nicest, most talented people I will never have in my roster. They're the top of the bottom.
Ah, such wonderful words from Miss Lindsay Center. All right, we're back. You're listening to The Odyssey Files on Para X. I'm your host, Michael O'Neill. With me is Dave Sorin, and we are discussing a case that just, I don't want to say it wrapped up, but I've done the reveal and everything now. So now it's just making sure that everything stays good. I guess for better terminology.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. So the investigation happened a couple weeks ago, and it was just myself and my client. That was it. And if my theory was correct, I figured that it would probably be a pretty quiet night, especially since if it is a poltergeist, it's in its quote-unquote finding its voice stage, which is why it's mimicking the kids and mimicking them. It's trying to find its voice. I don't know how severe that stage is. I think that's like number 4 or 5 or something along those lines. I just hope that if it was the case, that we were there in time, that it hadn't formed its own consciousness and become its own entity.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Yes. And I got to ask you, though, did you ask it to start knocking in even numbers? Did you say 2 is good, 4 is good, 6 is good, why don't you just stay away from 3? 3 is not a good number for you to be knocking in. That's what I would have said.
Obviously I did ask it to knock multiple times, but I did not ask it to do that. And the thing that I want to put in here really quick, and I posted this to my team after everybody, when I was just kind of giving my analysis after everything that they had done. I understand the whole three knocks, the mocking of the Trinity, and that it could be a sign of something negative. But does that have to be the case? I mean, is it one knock, human spirit, two knock, human spirit, three knocks, demon, four knocks, human spirit, etc.?
No, of course not.
Or can a human spirit just knock three times?
Sure they can.
And have it be, and have that be okay. Or not okay, but I mean, have that be non-negative inhuman entity.
Well, they can, but here's the problem, is that it's already been so well established that in so many negative cases that are like proven to be negative cases, that you have the three knocks, mm-hmm. that a lot of people, probably including myself, one of the first things that I... And it wasn't the three knocks that got me thinking negative entity. It was the combination of everything that I mentioned earlier. It was a whole, you know, grocery list of stuff. So I agree with you. It doesn't have to be negative just because it's three knocks.
So, I asked for it to knock for probably the good half of the night. Nothing. During evidence review, towards the beginning of it, I did ask, you know, if you could not knock for me, I'd really appreciate it. And on another recorder in the daughter's room, there was a very, very faint knock, but we did not hear it where we were in the house. But about halfway through the night, we started hearing, you know, coming from the kitchen area, which was adjacent to where we were. And, you know, so I got up to go and investigate to see kind of where it was coming from. And it was coming from, and I'm like, you know, I asked her, I'm like, is that what you hear? And she was like, yeah, that some of it. And it was coming from the back of her fridge.
Well, that's like the same as Nick and Sam's.
Right. So, but their ice maker was taken offline, I guess, unplugged. Or whatever. So I don't know how, excuse me. I don't know what would be making that noise in the fridge, but I mean, it could just be the motor or something like that. That's making that sound.
Yeah.
So I asked it, I'm like, okay. I'm like, but if that's all you can do, then I'm going to have to chalk that up to it being natural. Can you do anything that's more definitive? 15 seconds go by of silence, whatever. All of a sudden, you know, like, oh, okay. And it sounded like it was coming from the master bedroom. And then it wouldn't do it again. And then I did the whole, you know, one knock for yes, two for no. Didn't get a response. And then I did, would you prefer to talk to Sherry? And silence. And then like 15 seconds later, boom. I'm like, take it away. So that was the only thing that occurred with asking specifically for like one knock, two knock.
Well, let me ask you this. When she then, did she ask a few questions? Did you get any type of evidence via like any of the equipment or anything?
Nope. Equipment was stale the entire night. The only thing that, we were in the daughter's bedroom doing a session, and I moved to put the Mel meter on the bed, and it jumped to a 1.6 and then went down to 0.
Okay.
Couldn't recreate it. Now I had a camcorder in the master bedroom, and it picked up both of those bangs, but they sounded exactly alike. and from the exact same place. So yeah, I do not know if it was just good timing or what was going on with it.
Yeah.
The one definitive, I can't even say it was definitive because it was weird. Their whole entire place is wood. I mean, they all are. And so we're in the master bedroom doing a session. I'm knocking on the walls, trying to get the sound.
Yep.
And I was like, can you, you'll really like this, Dave. I did. Can you recreate this? And I did shave and a haircut.
Yeah. My favorite.
You know, yeah. So, you know, for anybody that doesn't know what that is, it's, you know, that's yep. Shave and a haircut. Silence. I'm like, whatever. That's kind of what I expected, you know, and went on. I'm like, is that because nobody's going to be frightened by this? Is that what your goal is? And, get silence. And then I'm just kind of leaning over my equipment that's sitting on the bed. And all of a sudden from the wall that I just knocked on, not sounding like wood, but more like tin. Like yeah. If there were rain gutters or whatever outside,
oh, yeah,
it seriously sounded like somebody was trying to do shaving a haircut back to me.
The whole thing,
not just bang bang, the whole thing.
Nice. And I like that. That's good.
And it sounded like if somebody really drunk was trying to do this, like it sounded out of order, but you could tell like that's what it was trying to do.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand the noise itself because it wasn't on wood. It was not a wood sound. Oh. So behind their bedroom is their laundry room. So I was like, do you mind if I go in there? And I kind of searched. And right where that is, there's a little cubby, and that's where their water pipes are.
Okay.
I don't know if it made... If those can make that sound, because it was seriously, if somebody had rain gutters,
yeah,
and they were banging on,
like a hollow tin sound,
exactly. But yes. They don't have that, so okay. I don't know how they created that particular sound, but yeah, that was about it. I kind of felt like there was a spider on me at one point in time, like I literally like reached before without even moving my arm. That I was feeling it on, I went and grabbed my phone and turned on the light, and there's nothing there. Hmm. And then she felt that maybe she got touched twice during the night, but that was it. And everything that I just laid out is about all the evidence that I got, except for the spirit box session, which harbored two things that I could make out. One was to the question who was doing the knocking. And we got a me. And then I said, you know, starting tonight, will you leave this family alone? And there was a female that said, yes. Now I tried to reach out to Lenore to tell her what had happened, what was going on, and that she needed to move on. Since the investigation into the reveal, which happened on Friday, the house has been pretty quiet. On like, I think one occasion they've heard kids giggling again. And that's it. They felt no sense of Lenore. And I don't believe there's even been any knocking. So I hope that, everything stays that way. She has already taken steps to try and learn about her abilities and to control them. And I think that's going to really, really help her.
It's a big step in the right direction. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yep.
So that's it. We have to go. We're out of time. So before I get yelled at. So thank you for listening tonight. We'll be back next week.
And, yes, we will. Yes. Have a fantastic week. Look forward to seeing you guys next week.
All right. Everybody have a good night.